You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Last minute Christmas shopping is going on. Trust me. Trust me. It is, it's crazy out there. Please be careful. There's a lot of very unusual driving going on. Let's just say that. Don't be that person. Even if you are in a hurry trying to beat the relatives coming into town, going to the relatives, or what have you, getting that last-minute gift on December the 23rd, you will get everything taken care of. That's my PSA for the day. Great to have you aboard. It is a Gym Class here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM Radio Stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Got a good show coming up for you. John Bonenkamp will join us, the Swiss Army knife of all things journalism here in Eastern Iowa. We will take a look ahead at the Music City Bowl, talk a little basketball as well, and maybe a little college football playoff. I have a feeling the college football playoff will be front and center here today as we open the discussion with you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, digits also 319-366-1600. 1600 here on a Monday of holiday week. We are on today. We will be on tomorrow. We will be on Thursday, and we will be on Friday. All of our, at least our program, will be on. I think Todd's on in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Correct, Isaac? Hello.
Yes that will be that is the correct schedule there.
Okay. Spencer's taking time off to be with the family.
Yep.
So he is off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, correct? Or is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow
and
as well.
Tomorrow.
So he's just a one-fer for this
week.
He's
a one-fer.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Good for him. He's traveling farther than we are.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He's traveling farther. We will get you an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit, and we may have a winner. I don't know. After I was eliminated from the pick six, I really kind of turned it away for the week. Mark Dukes joining me. Maybe Mark knows. We'll get to that coming up on the Emil Sideaway scoreboard as well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I do know, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And I sense you've aired your grievances for the year in that little setup you did. But we're not here for grievances. We're here. Well, maybe we are with the college football playoffs. I don't know.
Maybe people have grievances for it. Yeah. Those weren't airing. I tell you what. Hey, people that know, that drive every day on our beloved little 380 know exactly what I'm talking about.
No question.
And if you do, my best advice today, if you do not have to go very far, do not go very far, because it's crazy out there. 319-366-1600. We start the show today, of course, with sad news locally and, of course, pretty much globally. Saturday night, the news coming down that all-time baseball steals leader Ricky Henderson passed away. And that really shook me, shocked me, Mark. Did not know that Ricky was in that bad of health. I don't think there's ever going to be another Ricky Henderson. He is the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of baseball. I know we've had some good ones, but to me, a guy that could do everything. He could hit a home run when you needed it, but he was at his best when he would get on base, steal a base or two, score a run, do whatever it takes. He played for everybody. Maybe not Bobby Bonds played for everybody, but Ricky Henderson a great resume of teams he played for. And I think that might be one record now, Mark, that will stand the test of time in baseball is Ricky Henderson's stolen base record.
Yeah, the death surprised me as well at only 65 years old. But, yeah, we're not going to break any news here by extolling the virtues of Ricky Henderson. He was the greatest leadoff hitter in baseball history. Stolen base king, on and on and on. He could he might lead the majors in leadoff home runs. I don't know. But just a tremendous player, a tremendous guy. You know, there's not much more I can add to Ricky Henderson, what you've seen. Well, if you got to see him, it was a pleasure.
It really was. Just terrific. And, yeah, that was certainly a surprise when found out about that on Saturday. Likewise, a surprise today, the former Jamie Cavey, former Iowa women's basketball player, was a 1,000-point scorer for the University of Iowa. Was also the color commentator on the Iowa women's basketball broadcast with our friend Rob Brooks for several seasons. We found out today that she passed away, leaving a husband and a very young family of cancer. She passed away from just sad, sad news with the Iowa women's basketball program.
Yeah, I did not have the privilege of knowing Jamie. I'm certainly aware of her, a great player at North Cedar High School. And one of those first posts that were developed by Jan Jensen and Lisa Bluter, and had a very nice career at Iowa. And I know sat alongside Rob Brooks for a while doing play-by-play with the Iowa women. And she had some health concerns, obviously. And at 41, it's awfully young.
Awfully young. And our condolences to the family for Jamie. 319-366-1600. We've got bowl action. They're just starting the second half of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, which we have a vested interest in, right, Mark?
It doesn't really matter because I've wrapped things up, but Dave could tie me and I would win on the tiebreaker. So there is that. But trying to chase you down, yeah, we have a vested interest.
Okay. All right. Well, you won. We might as well, you let the kitty out of the bag. So you won. So Isaac, who is our winner with Mark?
That would be Dave.
Not Dave Alec,
no,
of course.
No, not Dave, but Dave P.
All right. Was Mark
Dave P was stuck with me, quite obviously.
Mark was picked third, not last.
Not last.
Not last.
Oh.
Dave had supreme confidence in you.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm still stunned that Scott hasn't been like the number one pick in what? It's been 3 weeks since you've been the first pick, Scott. That was the week that Greg took
yes,
it.
Yes, Greg and Epworth. Yes, and I apologize, Greg, profusely once again. But you're almost eligible to come back and play. So maybe we'll try it again sometime. But what was your record, Mark, by the way?
Well, I've won four games, four out of the five so far. And Dave has won three out of the five. But he picked Fresno State. I picked Northern Illinois. His Fresno pick is looking good. He could tie me at 4-2. But again, I somehow prevailed on the tiebreaker. And Isaac, I just think that Dave and Spencer have more friends and relatives than we do.
I will say Spencer was picked last week. So, you know, people aren't so high on Spencer right now either.
I didn't do well this week. I had a tough one. The college football playoff had a tough week. Mark, the very first first round set of games started off Friday night with Notre Dame taking it out on the Indiana Hoosiers. Ended up the closest margin of the games, I believe, at 27-17. Indiana fighting back there at the end, but a couple of very head-scratching decisions made by Kurt Cignetti in that game, and Notre Dame gets it. They will advance. Then you had three more games coming up on Saturday, and they were equally not the greatest in the world with SMU falling to Penn State 38-10. Texas and Clemson. Clemson did a few good things, held on for a while, but Texas wins by a couple of touchdowns. And then Ohio State just curb stomping the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday night. And of course, the slings and arrows of the general public coming up, raining down upon the college football playoffs, committee, playoffs, games, coaches. It didn't matter. They were taking their shots at everybody after the games ended on Saturday night.
Well, it could be an entirely different scenario next year. We might get three or four very good games in this first round.
Yes.
But this is the first iteration, and it was chalk. It was all double-digit victories. The problems I have are twofold. I don't like the home field advantage. The higher seeds don't get a home field advantage, so why should you in the first round? And I think the seedings are all screwed up. They're all screwed up. I mean, why is Arizona State a four seed? Only because it won the Big 12 championship. So what? It's not the fourth best team in this field. And you might be able to say that about Boise, too, but we're going to find out. Boise was ranked eighth but seeded third. I know its only loss was to Oregon by a point, or 3 points, I'm sorry. But it's a 10.5-point underdog against Penn State. The seedings are all messed up. You're telling me Ohio State is the eighth best team in this tournament? And I look at, you can't really compare it to March Madness, except for a couple things. You know, those 8-9 games that we look at, Scott, in the NCAA tournament, even the 6-11s, the 5-12s, we're looking for those upsets, and they somehow come through. The 8-9 game was a whitewash by Ohio State. And, the conference champions, why should they get a top four seed? I don't like that part about it. We don't get the best 68 teams in the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament. We're not getting the best 12 teams in this field, and we can debate that all we want. I think it's pointless right now. I think 8 is enough.
What do you think out there about the first weekend? 319-366-1600. Is 8 the magic number? They're not going to go back to 8, Mark. I know I don't disagree with you a whole lot. I can live with 12, but we're going to go to 16 sooner than later. We know that, especially if some of these teams look really bad that have had the rest in the next round and we see a ton of upsets. I think you're going to see 16 get here very, very quickly. And I agree with you about the seeding. And this is no way can be tied into March Madness. First of all, you have home games here. And as you mentioned, the seeds are all messed up. Arizona State looked very good against Iowa State. They won the Big 12. Congratulations to them. Yeah, they are not the number four team in America as far as college football is concerned. If there is a change, and I don't think there is going to be a change next year, there shouldn't be, because you shouldn't have a knee-jerk reaction to the first weekend of something that is just getting underway. We got to let this ride maybe a couple of years until they go to 16. But yeah, get the seedings taken care of, move them around a little bit. We know Oregon's number one, but great praise to Boise State, but they're not, they are not the number three team out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Greg says, yeah, they will go to 16 before 8. No doubt about it.
And then you're going to get more of the same, if not, every in the NCAA basketball tournament, once again, every now and then you get a 2 beating a 15, maybe a 1 beating a 16, a 3 beating a 4, or 14 beating a 3. I'm getting that in reverse, but you know what I'm saying. Every now and then. And you might get that every now and then if you go to 16 teams in the college football playoffs. But there is not 12, and there certainly isn't 16 teams in the country in this current climate of college football capable of winning the national championship. Be honest. You know that.
I know that. What did you think, Isaac?
Yeah, I thought there would be one upset that obviously did not happen. But I think I actually liked the home games. I would actually prefer those to be in the second round.
So does Greg. He just texted that.
Like, I think the home games were a fun little addition. I also think that puts increased importance on the regular season. It makes teams it forces teams to win games. Basically, like, you have to win if you want to have the home games in the first round to increase your chances for a deep run there. And that was one of my concerns with a 12-team playoff was the regular season's importance being decreased or devalued. And we're seeing arguments now with people on TV saying, you know, don't give me the argument about wins. Well, I just feel like wins should matter. They should count for something. Even if, like, SMU goes and gets blown out, or if Indiana goes and gets blown out, I think wins have to mean something in this age. And that was one of my concerns. It was one of the best things, I think, about the 4-team playoff is that every week felt like it was do or die for a lot of teams, where if you lost this game, you're out of the race. And I feel like moving to 12, it kind of devalued that. And now you have teams, people saying that wins shouldn't matter. So I think having the home playoff games was really fun. And I think that would add increased importance in the regular season.
What do you think? 319-366-1600.
There's a big reason you can't have home games in this next round because of the rose and the sugar and the peach and the fiesta. That's why there aren't home games in the next round.
Giving a lot of money through their sponsorships to the college football playoff, by the way.
I don't want to see the bowl games go away or anything like that, but I think you could probably do those bowl games in the semis and the final or the championship game. But I guess I don't know how it would exactly work, but that's kind of how I would envision it. But that's not going
to
happen.
The Rose Bowl wants to be on January 1st.
Yeah, and I also do like that it is Ohio State and Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I think that's awesome because traditional Rose Bowl matchup.
It is. Well, somewhat.
It's a different
way. It's old school tradition.
Yeah.
Because there is no Pac-12 anymore.
It feels like the Pac-12 is back a little bit in my mind with Oregon and Ohio State playing in the Rose Bowl.
319-366-1600.
If you had home games for the next round, Boise would be at home based on higher seeds to Penn State after Penn State hosted the first round. And the same with Arizona State. Arizona State would be – Arizona State's the 4 seed, Texas the 5. Arizona State would be at home after Texas hosted the first round. So
there was a big advantage for the cold weather schools. Just ask the Tennessee Volunteers who – that was just a bad, bad performance by Tennessee. And they looked slower. And you know what? Good for Ohio State because they earned the home game by being the upper seed, eight as opposed to the 9 is what I'm trying to say right here. Same thing with Notre Dame, although that's not a big difference between Notre Dame and Indiana. Certainly SMU going up to Penn State. SMU, Rhett Lashley's crew did not farewell. Although, you know, you don't throw a pick six twice, including one in your own end zone early in the game. It may have been a little bit of a different outcome, but quarterback had some problems early on for SMU. And again, I don't think you can just have knee-jerk reactions to everything based on 4 games of the first year of the college football playoff. You got to let it all play out, see what happens. It's going to be probably a whole different set of logistics, whole different set of circumstances in this quarterfinal round when they go to the bowls.
Yeah, a lot of good text coming in, and Alex saying, I like how the top conference champions get an auto bid, but I think they should be seeded by ranking and not just by winning your conference. You get a bye. I totally agree, Alex. And what is a conference championship? Is it winning the regular season title, or, as we know, winning the conference championship game, i.e. Clemson over SMU?
Yeah. 76-33. Welcome to brackets, D1. Look what happens in every other level that is bracketed. If you, by the way, if you wanted to see really good football over the weekend, I hope you tuned into the 1AA semifinals, because they were good.
I told you the Fargo Dome was going to be the best game.
Yep, and it was. It was.
That was Trey Lance's brother, right?
Yeah.
Bryce Lance?
I believe so.
Yeah, that was an insane catch.
And for the winner.
Yeah, for the win.
From Cam Miller. And Solon on Solon contact there on the sideline. with Bach and Miller going, holy cow. Now they're friends, I'm sure, but they weren't friends when the Jackrabbits and the Bison got together. It was Cam Miller that they were interviewing afterwards, I believe, wasn't it, Mark, after the game? And he goes, I can say it now. I hate the Jackrabbits. I hate the Jackrabbits.
That was Cam Miller.
That was a whole lot of fun watching North Dakota State and South Dakota State. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to John Bonenkamp here in about 8 minutes or so. We're going to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update first. That'll be coming up around the corner. And let's hope for better games. I think you take a look at the four games now in the quarterfinals. Woo! I mean, those are good matchups, at least on paper anyway. And you got some real dandies. With Ohio State and Oregon and Georgia and Notre Dame. Maybe the other two not quite as marquee, but those two promise to be pretty good ones.
Yeah, I think so. And I read a story today about reseeding the field after the play-in games, you know, those first-round games that were last weekend. Reseeding the field, you wouldn't have an Oregon-Ohio State matchup this week, I guarantee you.
No, you would not. And maybe that's something they do in the future, reseed after that first round.
How angry do you think the Big Ten is that Oregon-Ohio State are playing each other in the second round there?
Fairly angry.
I'm sure they're not too happy.
But you get one in the semifinals.
Yeah, I guess you're guaranteed one.
Guaranteed one. 0312 says they should follow the 1AA guidelines for setting up the brackets. And there are, much as there are rules for March Madness, conference teams cannot play until, I believe, the round of 16 in March Madness. Pretty sure about that. Like I said, this is the first time around. We have to see how this plays out. And so far, we're dud for four. I did think Sean McDonough was a little bit over the top on Friday night, getting on the committee and getting on Indiana. As a fellow broadcaster, I was a little squeamish in my seat hearing him say some of the things he did at the end, especially as Indiana was kind of coming back, already got one onside kick and had a chance for another one. I don't think he was wanting to eat crow on that particular night, but I thought he was a little bit over the top in some of his comments.
Yeah, I think Indiana deserved to be in the field of 12. Notre Dame just played awfully well.
They did.
At home.
I mean, you won 11 games. I just don't like people saying, well, who'd they play? I mean, they won and they crushed a lot of their opponents. What do you want them to do? I know hypotheticals are out there, but if it was all just hypotheticals, why don't we just put the top 12 recruiting classes in every year and just ignore all the results in the middle of the season? Wins during the regular season have to count for something.
Yeah. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, one more 2875. If we could get rid of opinion in college football, it will all fix itself. Four conferences with title game is eight teams. Big Ten plays Big 12 champ, SEC versus ACC every year. All we have now is ESPN money making the tourney very bad. Well, I don't know if you can have the Big Ten play the Big 12 every year. I don't, you know, that's going to get a little bit monotonous perhaps, but I get your point. If you get to the conference championship game, then maybe you're in. But again, Mark, they are not going back to eight.
No, that's just a preference on my part. And I don't agree with 0189. I respect the opinion, but I don't. He says all parts of the country and all conferences need to be represented. I'm one that not everybody gets a trophy. And, you know, if you're going to have a 12-team playoff, I want to see the 12 best teams. So what if the top three teams are from the same conference and the ACC gets left out? So what?
If they had a bad year. All right, 3:30, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across in the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot. They are also the sponsor of the Pick 6, of which Mark was the winner. They are right across from Lindale and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock. What do we got?
We got college football. Two quarterbacks have decided on colleges. Bo Prabula, the Penn State number two, has decided to go to Missouri, Iowa's bowl opponent. He reportedly was being courted by Iowa. And Mikey Keene at Fresno State, the Fresno State quarterback, not playing in today's game, has decided to go to Michigan. He has played 2 years at UCF, 2 years at Fresno State, and 39 games, 8,200 passing yards, 65 touchdowns. In the AP polls today, on the men's side, Tennessee is your number one, followed by Auburn and Iowa State. Drake comes in, unbeaten Drake, that is, essentially in the 28th position. In the women's poll, UCLA holds number one, South Carolina two, Notre Dame three. Iowa is 24th, one of seven Big Ten teams represented. This Sunday's Vikings-Packers game has been flexed to a mid-afternoon national TV time slot, switching places with the Cowboys and Eagles, which now will be played at noon. And finally, University of Iowa golfer Noah Kent, who finished runner-up in the United States Amateur this year and has qualified for the Masters, announced he is transferring to Florida, his home state. Kent will be allowed to compete this year for Iowa, then will go to Florida.
Interesting. Interesting. You can't blame Noah. You know, Iowa, we know Tyler Stith very well. We've got a great program, but he's from Florida. Obvious differences between Florida climate and Iowa climate. And one more year as a Hawkeye and then heading off to Gatorland. 3:32, we'll take a break, come back, and John Bonekamp will join us. Plenty to talk about with John. We'll do that when we return. It is a Monday edition, a holiday week edition of the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of the day and temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. Tonight, we'll drop down into the upper 20s and have partly cloudy skies with some patchy fog developing by morning. Then tomorrow, we're going to have cloudy skies once again. Temperatures are going to be held to the mid-30s. We'll make our way into the upper 30s for Christmas Day with cloudy skies once again. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and it is a busy, busy week, and life is busy, and Quickstar is there to help you out. They are your go-to for variety, quality, and fast service. Whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, a tasty bakery treat, something that the last minute that you need to complete your holiday dish, whatever, they've got it at your neighborhood Quickstar. Plus, clean restrooms, fresh groceries, easy meal options, and everything in between. They've got it at your neighborhood Quickstar, where your day gets easier and better. And of course, it's Monday, which means roasted whole chicken on special for $5.99, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And some of the other great savings they have this week include Kitchen Cravings boneless pork loin chops, 5 ounce, 99 cents each, limit five. And also Kitchen Cravings summer sausage, 12 ounce, two for $7.50 or $4.29 each. Available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
CPOA Jewelers holiday sale is on.
We're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
CPOA Jewelers has great savings all month long.
Spend $500 to $1,500 and receive diamond studs or a $100 Nelson's Meat Market gift card.
Spend $1,500 to $3,499 and receive 1 carat lab-grown studs or your choice of G-Shock watch. Spend $3,500 or more and receive 2 carat lab-grown diamond studs or 1 carat lab-grown tennis bracelet.
Save at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers,
corner of Collins Road and First Ave,
where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaides and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what here for you means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement here for you, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Your old golf clubs give new hope to veterans. The GIVE Foundation uses golf as a free rehabilitation treatment for combat injured veterans. You make it happen when you donate your old clubs. Right now, the GIVE Foundation is accepting donations at Billion of Iowa City. Drop your old clubs off by January 4th and receive a $100 gift certificate for Billion Service Department. It doesn't matter what condition they're in. Make a meaningful impact with your old golf clubs. Donate them to the GIVE Foundation at Billion of Iowa City through January 4th.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you at 3:36 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. The holiday week getting underway here. We'll be with you tomorrow. We're off Wednesday. Back with you on Thursday and Friday. We're going to talk Mizzou football coming up tomorrow. And kind enough to be joined on holiday week by our friend John Bonenkamp. You can follow him on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer, at John Bonenkamp, all one word, and of course writes for numerous periodicals, Hawkeye Nation, iowacollegehoops.com, the AP, you name it. He is the Swiss Army knife of all things journalism here in Eastern Iowa. Happy holidays, John.
How are you? How's it going?
Doing good. Doing good. Ready for Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas?
I am sitting in the Target parking lot right now in West Burlington, and as soon as I get done, I'm going to try to wade into that disaster and see how it goes. So I got everything done. I just need to get a couple of things. So.
Well, best of luck, John.
You can only imagine. Let's put it this way. I am sitting in a part of the parking lot that I've never seen cars in other than during Christmas week. So anyway, it's going to be one of those days, I think.
There you go. Have strength, man. Have strength. We've been talking about the college football playoff. Got to get your impressions of it. It was not the greatest four games ever in the history of college football, but you know, this is the first go around. I'm saying let it play out. I think we're going to have much better games in the next round. Home field meant a lot. What were your thoughts?
See, I still pine for the days of all the games on January 1st and then having the polls decided. No, seriously. I think it'll be fine. I think it does need some fine-tuning. I mean, I covered what was then the 1AA playoffs for years, and they never got it right either, you know, but it was what it was, and you just lived with it. And I think they'll figure some things out in terms of seeding and who gets first round buys and all that other stuff. But it was fine. I really didn't watch a lot of the games. I just didn't really have that much of an interest, you know, in some of those games. But I thought for the most part it went pretty well, especially with the games being on campus. So I liked it, and now we'll see what the quarterfinals look like and the semifinals look like. And that'll be the next, I think, real test.
Closer to home, Iowa faces Missouri, of course, coming up on December 30th, Monday. Kirk Ferentz held his news conference the other day. Didn't say he's going to talk more about Missouri closer to the game. But knowing what we know about the quarterback situation, Caleb Johnson not going to play, other players coming back, how do you think Iowa is settled for this bowl game against a pretty good Missouri team?
I think they are. They're in pretty good shape. I think, I think the quarterback is where you don't know what Brendan Sullivan's going to give you. You kind of know what Jackson Stratton could do from those last couple of games. But, you know, with Brendan Sullivan being out, you know, now he's back. That's the biggest question mark in my mind. But to me, the biggest thing is that a lot of those guys are still playing in the game. The Jay Higgins is still going to be in the game. Nick Jackson's going to play in the game. And some of those other guys that could very well say, look, I want to move on and get ready for the next step in my career. But that says a lot, I think, about the culture of this program. And it says a lot about those guys that they want one more game with their players. So I think Iowa's actually in pretty good shape. There aren't a lot of questions in my mind. I think we know what we've got with this group.
Very true. And when you talk about the quarterback, Brendan Sullivan had two games where the Hawks put up a 40 burger in. So I guess that fuels optimism for said Iowa fan base, right?
Because I think this is the beginning of the quarterback battle for next year. You know, you've got these two guys who have played this year. You know what you've got with them. You've got two more quarterbacks who are coming in that are going to be there with them this week and going to be able to at least be at the practices and maybe do some things. You know, I don't know how they'll kind of work them in. And it is the beginning of the evolution of that position with Iowa for next year. So if Brendan Sullivan has a really good game, that kind of gives him a step up. If he struggles, if they bring in Jackson Stratton and he struggles, then that competition is wide open in the springtime. And so I think it kind of gives us an idea on what is the next step at that position for Iowa.
John, maybe you can straighten me out. I don't understand some of the fans, you know, disappointed in not landing Bo Prabula from Penn State. He's going to Missouri. I guess my thought is, listen, they've got Sullivan, they've got Stratton, Jimmy Sullivan's coming in, probably not going to play next year anyway, and bring in Hank Brown from Auburn. What, you know, you don't bring in somebody that you don't think is going to compete for the starting job, and then another quarterback on top of that. What do you make of that situation?
I'm like you. I mean, because you already got one out of the portal, and I don't know if you really want to get somebody that, because now all of a sudden that competition becomes really big, and then you know that whoever is whoever may be the loser in that competition in the springtime is going to leave, and so then you're kind of back to square one. I get where people think, okay, this guy can make a difference, but again, you're starting to clog up that position when you've got some other positions you need to fill. You know, it would be nice to go get another experienced wide receiver. It would be nice to go get some experience in on the defensive side of the ball. There's only so much money you got to work with here now, which is funny that we talk about college sports that way now. But there is only so much money. And if he really did get whatever money Missouri offered him that supposedly is out there, that's a lot of money to be committing to somebody that may not win that job. So I kind of understand that, but I think a lot of it is you got to look at the logistics of the position and how many quarterbacks do you really need at this point? You've got plenty. It wouldn't bother me if they found an FCS quarterback in the portal that has some experience that can give, you know, and just improve the experience in that room that much more. But, you know, to get two Division I programs or two Division I quarterbacks from very high-level programs, and then you've already got what you've got, that's an awful lot of commitment to one position in my mind.
Yeah. With that being said, a couple things here, John. Number one, Hawks, like you said, I think they have to dip into the portal a little bit. They do have Ethan Hurkett coming back, Graves coming back. I think you're going to see them go after some offensive linemen. When that happens, who knows?
Yeah.
And I think Kirk is getting a little warmer. I'm not going to say he's embracing the portal and the new world of college football, but I think at least he is warming up to it a little bit. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, and I think he's seen. I mean, they have gotten some guys that have helped them out of the portal, and you know, I think back to the conversation I had with Ben Jacobson this summer. And I was asking him, you know, about this was like the first time UNI basketball had really gone into the portal. And he said they kind of looked at it as, hey, we're getting some new guys with experience that can really help us. And I think Kirk probably looks at it the same way, too. Hey, we can see what's out there. This is kind of like going on Amazon and seeing what you can find there. You know, and it's not, you know, you're finding some help, some instant help for positions that a few years ago you're still having to develop guys for. So I do think he is kind of understanding this is what we're going to have to do if we're going to win. And that's what I think his mindset is right now, that you're going to have to play this game.
It is basketball season too, John, and kind of a nice win for the Iowa men. My takeaway is, you know, Fran really only used seven guys in that game. He did play nine, but it was really a seven-man rotation. And this Utah team, it's going to be a good win by the end of the year, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, it was one of those ones that I mean, when you looked at their resume at this time, and again, it's a long way to March. There's still a lot of games that have to be played. But you like to get, you know, one of the things I thought Iowa had played well to this point, but they were missing that big, you know, that really win, a win that you can really kind of hang your hat on. And it would have been nice if they would have gotten Iowa State, and they didn't. And this was an opportunity for them to beat a power conference team on a neutral court, and they did that. And I thought played really well down the stretch and really locked down Utah late in the game. So I thought it was a very important win for them with what you've got coming up now. You got one more non-conference game, and then you get back into Big Ten play. It gives you a win now that's on that resume. And they don't have a quad one win yet. They're still 0-3 in quad one, but they're 3-0 in quad two games. And so, I mean, the resume looks fairly decent right now. Now, how can you build on that now as you get into Big Ten play?
Yeah. And I think Utah is going to be fringe. They're probably going to be going between quad one and quad two a lot. And once the Big Ten and Big 12 get going, you know, they're going to get a lot more quad one opportunities.
Yeah. But it was one of those ones that I think you really kind of needed at this point, that you could prove that you could play with a really, really good power conference team on a neutral court. It's something you can show to the committee when you get into March. It was a really good win for them, I think, at this point in the season. And now, like I said, now you can get into Big Ten play, and it's going to get really serious now at this point.
John, what do you know, if anything, about Seydou Traore?
You know, I mean, I think there is probably some sort of issue with his ankle that he tried to come back in the Iowa State game, and I thought he played okay in that game. But I brought this up to somebody else, and I'll use the Dodger analogy here, and I think back to Freddie Freeman's ankle back in October, and what they had said at that time about the recovery time for an injury like that. Seydou's injury was a lot like that. And they, you know, so if you're talking 4 to 6 weeks, it's understandable if it's still bothering him. And you know, and people that were at the game said he was walking with a limp the other day. So, you know, Fran's comments the other day, I mean, maybe there is some stuff behind the scene. I don't know. But at the same time, this was a pretty serious injury. And it may not be one that you come back from real quick. And maybe him coming back and trying maybe kind of set that back a little bit. I don't know. But it would be really nice to get him back and get him healthy for that late January run into February when you're going to really need a player like that.
Yeah, and I'd be shocked to see him on the court against New Hampshire. I think just give him a week and a half and get him ready for Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, get him 10 minutes to kind of get him acclimated to playing again, because like I said, you're going to need him when Big Ten play comes. But I hope you appreciate the fact that I can slip the Dodgers into pretty much any category of conversation.
Oh, so. Duly noted.
Anyway.
Duly noted. But
I
you lost
find a comparison. I can find comparison to anything.
So. You lost Walker Buehler today, though, but he's expendable now,
yeah,
right?
That made me feel bad because, like I said, he is Dodger royalty in my mind. But it is a business, and I think they have certain wants for that starting rotation, and I just didn't think he fit in. And I feel bad about it, but it is the business of baseball. So
it is. John Bonenkamp joining us a couple more minutes here in a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Iowa women with obviously the loss against Michigan State. Big win against UNI. You knew it would be tough. It was. Maya McDermott is just fun to watch for UNI. Cabe Lauby also terrific for the Panthers. It's just great to see those interstate games being played. Hope they continue. That's a whole different subject. But
sure.
Hawks, are they kind of where you thought they would be right now, headed getting ready for the Big Ten?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a lot of learning to do with this team, and it was something that Tanya Warren said about what she thought of Iowa, and she said you can see they're still trying to figure out each other, and I do think there is that learning curve. There's a learning curve of players getting to know each other and playing bigger roles and that sort of thing, and you've got essentially a new head coach. Granted, she's been there a long time. But that view as a head coach becomes a little different. I think she's still trying to learn, some things about her team and where they all fit in. And you can kind of see that now they've run some of the rotations. I think this is a really good team. I've said this before. I go back to they remind me of that the team between Megan Gustafson's last year and the team that given Caitlin's first year, in the sense that it was a really good basketball team that also struggled at times. And I think you're going to see that in Big Ten play. They're going to get some wins, some pretty good wins, and there's going to be some games where they just get outplayed by somebody. And so, like I said, they're learning each other right now. In my mind, they are where I thought they would be right now.
John, I got a little time here. Is there any Dodger item you need? Maybe a replica ring or what?
Well, I would like to get something like that. I'm very disappointed I'm not out there because they were having a deal where you could get your picture taken with the World Series trophy. I would have loved that. But I've already got my World Series shirts and I've got my World Series program and NLCS program, and I spent a lot of money in November, to celebrate this one. So I'm pretty much all set with what I need from right. The Dodgers World Series, which they were World Series champions. I don't know if I mentioned that today, but they are World Series champions.
Yes, they were, and have a good shot at it again next year.
Exactly. Let's repeat. Let's run it back and do it again.
All right. Hey, Merry Christmas, John. Best of luck as you head in.
Thank you guys, too. Thank you. Yeah, it is. Pray for me because, like I said, this crowd's getting even bigger here now, I noticed. So this is going to be entertaining. So.
All right. Best of luck, John.
All right. Merry Christmas, you guys. See ya.
All right. Merry Christmas. John Bonenkamp joining us here at 3:53, heading in to do some shopping. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you after this.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or Pro Desk for details.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Back with you at 3:55, Spencer on Sports. Coming up next from 4 until 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. And no Cyclone Coaches show for you tonight. We will have Monday Night Football in its entirety from Westwood One as the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints go at it. Packers looking to clinch a playoff spot tonight. That would be the third NFC North team to do that. So we'll have it at 6:30 for you with the pregame about 7:15 with the kickoff tonight between Green Bay and New Orleans. One final college football playoff text to get to here. 1900 saying Indiana's 11 wins. Only one came against a team with a winning record. That was Michigan. The Hoosiers were not a top 12 team. And I'll give another one. 3702 saying Notre Dame playing one less game and got another week of rest at the conference champions. Did not get helps, plus Georgia's QB got injured in the SEC championship. Yeah, Carson Beck probably going to be out for that particular ball game. We'll see.
Yeah, both valid points, both arguable. I still think Indiana is one of the best 12.
And is Ironside on this week? Yes. Mark will be on Friday, just ahead of our picks. So it's a Friday. We'll have a little bowl talk on Thursday, little bit on Friday. We'll have the picks. We'll have Mark Ironside. We'll have Kevin Lehman. Yeah, we got a lot of things. Spencer, get your picks ready to go. He's ready. He's getting to Mark or me, whichever you prefer. And we will have those coming up because Spencer's on vacation for the rest of the week and going up and celebrating the holidays with the family. And certainly that is what it is all about. Thanks to everybody out there for all of the great texts today. Do appreciate it. Whether you were, whatever side you were on for the first weekend of the college football playoff. And, we've got NFL games on Wednesday. If you're in fantasy football playoff mode, remember, there is football coming up on Wednesday. We'll have both of those games for you. They are Netflix games. Keep that in mind. So we will have them for you right here on 1600 ESPN, and they are good ones. The Chiefs and the Steelers starting things off. Chiefs win. They clinch the number one berth. All right, Mark, we will talk with you coming up tomorrow.
Sounds great. Spencer, Merry Christmas. We'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class.
That's the ease at which you get information. You want it, you get it. Like that. Ask your phone. Group chat. Smartphone. You're always connected and informed in real time. No waiting. So if you're diabetic and still using finger sticks to read your blood sugar, what are you waiting for? Knowing your blood sugar levels instantly.